For the last 25 years or more, network operators have used SNMP polling and screen scraping to extract data from the network, but polling and scraping, really, that's not a very good way for near real-time environments to gather data, and a lot of IT shops are heading to near real-time, getting that data as quickly as possible. So keeping up as close to real-time as possible with network events means you have a chance to get out in front of a problem before it is impactful, which is why people are looking into this. Okay, so close to real-time as possible. That sounds like a good thing to say, but then when you consider the volume of data to be analyzed because of modern network speeds, getting that analysis done is super hard. There's just a lot of information to make sense of very quickly, but people are doing it. There are hyperscale web providers that are using systems to enhance network visibility, and they're doing it in a couple of ways. They are getting their results in near real time. That's a big thing. And then two, the information they are collecting is really granular. They're getting lots of details about the network. And you're going, huh, okay, so what would that look like? Well, our sponsor today is Cisco Systems, and they have some answers from the world of model-driven telemetry. Wow, model-driven telemetry, that's a tough one. And our guests to talk about model-driven telemetry are Victor Osipchuk, technical marketing engineer, and Arun Satyanarayana, principal engineer, and they are both with Cisco. So Victor, I want to jump right in with you, and really, a lot of people are going to be wondering why SNMP and polling for data is a bad thing, because that is the way most of the world gets their network data. So explain to us what the issue is.
You know, when we talk or think or discuss monitoring, 9 times out of 10, we have these 3 things in mind, right? SNMP, syslog, and CLI. And SNMP is for sure the most popular one. It was created around 30 years ago. And mostly because of the age, there are several issues with SNMP. One problem is with SNMP itself, right? It is based on UDP. This was advantageous once upon a time when memory and CPU were at premium. Low session overhead and lack of need to retransmit lost packets made it an ideal best effort protocol. These days, we can afford more powerful CPU and to have stateful transport protocols, but we still continue to accept an unreliable delivery of our critical device monitoring information. And on the other hand, acquiring a device using SNMP is slow and inefficient. Data representation within a router is different comparing to the way SNMP operates. SNMP query by row and data that you're trying to get might and usually is located in very different places inside the router. In some cases, you might get what you need from cache. Obviously, it has pros and cons. But in other case, you will have to go down to each port and get the data right directly from the hardware and then use internal system transport protocols to deliver that information individually. And now imagine the port number we have on platforms today and how all of these increase CPU load and bring delays in getting data out. And the situation becomes even worse if you have several SNMP polar stations. In this situation, your router will have to go inside and grab the same data separately for each polar, even if requests come at the same time and for the same data.
So the summary I'm getting there from that, I mean, there's a couple of big things you've said so far. One is, okay, we're using UDP, an unreliable transport to grab data, but we don't really want to miss data. And nowadays with modern control plane CPUs, we could tolerate having TCP and use that if we wanted to grab data. That's fine. And then also, SNMP isn't very nice to the CPU doing lots and lots of polling to grab a whole bunch of ports on a switch and get all of their information. There are other methods that would be better. Is that, do I have the right idea here?
Yeah. So SNMP as a protocol has issues from both sides, right? From internal architecture and the way it operates with the router. Mm. So yes, your summary is perfectly fine.
Mm. Okay. So streaming is the next big thing then. And give us just a quick introduction to what streaming telemetry is as compared to SNMP. With SNMP and polling, I'm reaching into a device, polling it, pulling back data from SNMP OID. Streaming telemetry is what by comparison?
So with streaming telemetry, you have all the information within your routers, just despite of the role, right? We can have routers in different roles within our network, like border router or backbone router or data center router. But they do have all the information they need internally. And the goal of streaming telemetry is just to take this information and push this out and make it as fast as possible, as reliable as possible, and above that, to have this behavior deterministic over the time. Because you want, for instance, if you can push information out like each 1 second or each 2 seconds, you want to have this behavior the same in 1 minute and the same in several hours or days or weeks. And that's the goal of streaming telemetry.
So how does streaming telemetry, just to cover off the basics, how does streaming telemetry differ from, say, syslog or SNMP traps?
Mm-hmm. The difference comes in several aspects. First of all, modern streaming telemetry is based on models. Right now, we're talking about young models, and this is the way where you can represent information in hierarchical form. And this is one of the main benefits of streaming telemetry, is that you have this hierarchy and you can use different automation tools or scripts for your receiving end. With syslog or CLI scraping, screen scraping, you can parse outputs, right? You can have regex and do your things. But CLI output and syslog information, different vendors. And above that, output can be changed sometimes between different releases in the same platform. And for you as a consumer, it will mean that you have to rebuild your tools once again. And with streaming telemetry, when you have your hierarchy according to young models, you have this information. You define your tools just once, and then you just parse this information out of the data.
I mean, but the issue here is the model-driven component of streaming telemetry, because we've actually talked to several vendors about how they stream their telemetry data, and almost everybody's been doing them differently. There doesn't seem to be any standard formatting or standard even what sort of data it is that they are streaming. So is this where the model-driven part of model-driven telemetry is going to help?
Well, yes. The basic thing is that you might and you see some small differences between vendors, but mostly between wire formats. Telemetry, as I said, is based on hierarchical models, and open models like OpenConfig are supposed to have the same behavior or output between different vendors. And they help our customers to adapt telemetry and improve their operations. Mm. And above that, GNMI support that is coming soon will enhance this behavior even more. And I will let Arun to talk about this a bit later, about GNMI that is coming.
You mentioned open models. You mentioned OpenConfig. You've mentioned Yang. There's IETF Yang models and lots of models that are out there. So from Cisco's perspective, which models are you planning to support?
If you look at the models today, you can split them into two major groups, native or proprietary and open, like OpenConfig. And the goal of open models is to have the same support and the same output across different vendors to make life easier. While native or proprietary models have the goal to bring advantages for the vendors, right? From the very beginning, our goal, Cisco, was to make sure that we have full coverage with young models of everything that our customers pull today with SNMP. Plus many counters above, right, as they can finally be streamed out easily using telemetry. Of course, it was not a single-day process, but as of today, we have around 200 different Yank models with almost full coverage. And our strategy is to keep on developing native models for new upcoming features, as well as provide full support for OpenConfig models.
Your initial point for the data models around the Yang is to say, this is what we're doing in SNMP, so we'll copy those, or you know, those will be the basis for moving forward. And then the second step is to then look at what the IETF's doing with the Yang models as well, instead of just, you know, starting from a brown field and saying, we want to build our Yang models like this and build our own. You're saying, embrace what's there in the market and what other people have defined.
Yeah, that's a nice summary.
Which is important, right? Because that matters. Because when you write software, you don't want to have to keep writing them for different Yang models and picking out which values you want. So when you have your, whether you're Python scripting or you're using a controller like ONAP or a Cisco controller as well, you don't want to be fiddling around with Yang models and working out which one you want. You want to be able to just get started and only go into the other Yang models, not the proprietary, but because I don't want to bring in the negative context, but if you extend the Yang models to put other data sets in there for people who want them, then they would have to extend their software to be able to embrace to get that data out. You've got to poll the right, in the same way that an SNMP MIB, if you want to get a data that's put into a MIB, you've got to absolutely write something to get it. Whereas if you're using the standard MIB, you can get going on day one.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Our final goal is to make life easier for our customers. And moving with open models should help with this.
Right.
Is there a way I know which models I need? Because there's just so many models out there. How do I, as the consumer, figure out which ones I need so that I get the telemetry that I'm interested in?
Well, this is one of the most popular questions I get from our customers that doing their first steps with moving from SNMP to streaming telemetry. As soon as a new iOS XR corresponding Yank models are published on GitHub and you can download them. And when you have models locally, you can explore them offline using tools like Pyank or any other Yank explorer that you can find, for instance, on GitHub. And yet another option is to send netconf hello to your iOS XR router. And while replying, this device will include all the supported capabilities as well as models. And this way you will be able to get the full list of supported models on exactly your router and start playing with them.
All right. So let's say I've picked some models, but that doesn't tell me what format I'm getting the data in. So let's say that's important to me. Can I choose if I want to get the data back in JSON format or XML or protobuf or...
You're right, following the streaming telemetry logic of operation. As soon as you identified information you want to stream out using some specific model, you need to specify encoding and transport protocols. And this is a very important thing about telemetry in general, and iOS XR specifically. You have different layers, and each layer is independent by itself. We know that our customers have different requirements, and that's why a wide range of transport protocols as well as encoding is available. From transport side, you can go with TCP or gRPC or even UDP. And for encoding, Google protobufs, compact version as well as key value, and JSON that was added in the recent release. And one of the key features here is the possibility to mix and match. You're not restricted to use, say, gRPC with Google protobuf only. If you want to go with TCP and use GPB, you're free to do it. You have a very flexible choice here.
All right, so I can pick my models. I can choose the format. But going back to actually picking the models, I did some homework on Yang for a presentation I did at Interop last year. And honestly, digging through Yang, it's a little complicated if I'm just an engineer. And I've also had a bunch of people tell me, yeah, Yang is really more for developers anyway. So what has Cisco got that helps me parse through those Yang models and make them make sense, make them a little bit more palatable to me if I'm more of a network engineer and less of a developer?
Yeah, you're right. For a common network engineer, it might be not so interesting. It's like a language has its rules. And if you need to automate BGP configuration and add telemetry support, you probably don't want to dig into the model itself to understand how it works. And for these situations, Cisco created YDK, or Yang Development Kit. It is a software development kit that provides APIs that are generated from Yang data models. And YDK mirrors the structure of your Yang data models, so you don't need to go through that Yang model hierarchy. And so there is no need to handle Yang files directly, and this should make things easier. And above simple mirroring of Yang models, YDK gives several benefits, like it takes care of data validation, like types, values, semantics. Have everything checked before it comes down to a router. And YDK is open source, and you can find it on GitHub also.
Okay, so Yang Developer Kit is going to help me deal with that without having to interact with the Yang structures directly. That makes sense, and that's a freebie. Okay, now I want to understand the receiving end. So, okay, now we've been talking about, from a device perspective, how to get the streaming out of the box. We're sending data, we've chosen our models, we've got data formatted in a particular way, but now something's got to be collecting it and parsing it. And so far, all of the collectors that I've seen are vendor specific. So, how do I deal with this? Do I have to buy something specific from my vendor to collect the streaming telemetry data? Is there some other tools available to me?
Streaming telemetry, yes, requires its own collector, and you can't use them or collectors from SNMP. That's true. And the goal of such collector is to take telemetry stream and do first processing. You need to have your data transformed from hierarchical young format into something more flat that will be accepted by the layer above. And that layer above is usually a time series database. Mm-hmm. And Vector Cisco has open source pipeline, a model-driven collection service. Pipeline is a flexible, multifunctional collection service that is written in Go. It can consume telemetry data from any XR or NXOS device. And it has a number of input stages, and they support like UDP, TCP, as well as gRPC dial-in or dial-out capabilities. And for encoding, pipeline can consume JSON, compact GPB, or self-describing GPB. For the output side, pipeline can write the telemetry data to a text file in JSON format, just for offline understanding what is streamed out, as well as push the data to a Kafka bus or format it for consumption by leading open source databases such as InfluxDB or Prometheus.
So it sounds like a translator then. So, I mean, I've got my router, let's say. I'm sending streaming telemetry to a pipeline instance. And you said pipeline is open source?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I've fired up pipeline. It's got streaming telemetry coming in. And then I have configured it to understand that. Parse the Yang model that's being aimed at it so it knows how to tear that data apart?
Yeah, so basically it understands the transport protocol and it understands encoding. And then it just goes through the information inside and makes it in the format that will be accepted by some receivers.
Oh, okay. It doesn't actually care about the model. It just knows the encoding and goes, okay, I can tear these apart. Here's a variable, here's a value, you know, key value pair more or less, and then can put it into whatever format's needed so that data ends up, as you said, in a database or in, you know, whatever the ultimate destinations are to hold that data.
Yeah.
I guess that's the next question then. So pipeline lets me collect the data, mm-hmm. And it will send it to a variety of destinations for me. Those are there. And that's where it gets interesting. Now I've got data in some usable place so I can do visualization, so I can do data mining and try to find trends within the data so that I can see when thresholds are exceeded or get alerted when something interesting happens. What about platforms there?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, today, I think the platform number one that is open source, I mean, and available on GitHub and for you to download is, for instance, Grafana. And you can add Grafana as the final step for your first steps adopting telemetry. And with Grafana, you can have very nice visualizations and you can see the data that is collected in some time series database. In our case, it can be InfluxDB or Prometheus. And you can visualize this information. You can put thresholds. You can set up alarms. It is pretty flexible and it is supported to have telemetry on iOS XR devices.
Okay, but so my interpretation here is that to some degree, it's a little bit early days for streaming telemetry in that if we take a step back and look at the SNMP world, there's a zillion packages you can buy that do things for you to help you manage your network infrastructure on the assumption that it's going to do SNMP polling and then it will do pretty graphs for you and so on. With streaming telemetry, am I still in the world of collecting it, putting it in a database, and then needing to use, as you said, Grafana or whatever your visualization tool is? Do you need to really build out that layer yourself? Or are there, like, does Cisco have a package I could buy if I wanted to use streaming telemetry coming off of some of your service provider boxes, maybe?
I would say like this. For your first steps, when you just want to play in your lab and want to just to feel telemetry, you can just go with open source tools. But later on, for instance, telemetry by itself gives more opportunities than just real-time monitoring at scale. And in the future, with telemetry, you can imagine your network as a big data solution, right? And routers can stream tons of data very quickly, and you can use some data science tools to add predictions based on behavior. Yeah, with telemetry, I did some basic tests recently, with just a single router. And with not very high scale configuration, I had something around 1 gigabyte of data, valuable real-time data, right? And pretty impressive. And big data analytics will help identify problem patterns, baseline data sets, and outages can be analyzed better. Failures like memory leaks can be correlated with data such as inventory, location, topology, etc. And this is still under research and development, but we have tools like Panda that is open sourced and that are being developed right now, but they will be able to bring these at the table. So answering your question, yes, Cisco is working on the products and some of them are open sourced.
Okay. All right. So where does streaming go next then? Or let me put it another way, but beyond simply collecting lots of data quickly and throwing it in Grafana, et cetera, what else could I do with the data that makes it interesting for me to go in the streaming telemetry, model-driven streaming telemetry direction?
That is exactly what I've been talking right now. So all those big data things or data science things, that will be the future, because the value of streaming telemetry is not just in monitoring at scale, right? It's the benefits that can be received when you have information, a lot of like gigabytes of information in a very short period of time about all your devices. Yes, you will need to keep this information and be able to process. But when you have this information, you will be able to react to things before they happen. You will be able to utilize machine learning and all those things.
Yeah, and what you're saying there is actually really important, I think. So if it would be incorrect to frame streaming telemetry as simply an SNMP replacement. Oh, it's the new way to do the same thing you did before. It's actually more than that, because now you're getting data off the boxes in real time. You're getting a lot of very granular data, and we've got CPU power in a data center that can mine that data and look for trends, look for all sorts of things. Machine learning has been brought in to a lot of this to find information about your network that you didn't even know was there, possibly. We've seen demos from Cisco and others about how all of that happens. And so it's not just about polling and seeing graphs of bandwidth utilization, as so many people think of SNMP. That's maybe the first thing that pops into their head as a network engineer. It's actually about grabbing all of these data points, more data than maybe you ever would have polled with SNMP before, and then storing that data and mining that data with algorithms to see what's interesting about your network going forward, and getting into that proactive state as opposed to reactive state. Oop, SNMP pulled, something just turned red, better react to it. Now it's proactive, seeing trends and changes from baseline before things are impacted on the network.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look how customers adopt telemetry right now, the first one is just to see how it can be possible to replace SNMP, just getting this information in real time, doing visualizations. Next, when you have this per second information about your network, you want to do different kind of automations. Right? Make some actions based on the events. And the final step that is not here yet is exactly what you mentioned.
Okay. So it's actually a really good time for folks that can get into the streaming telemetry game. You start that now and get used to that part, and then over time, the more interesting information comes. So from Cisco's perspective, what iOS flavors or other OS flavors support streaming telemetry?
So right now, we have for sure iOS XR that has streaming telemetry inside, and XOS that is software for our data center products. It also has streaming telemetry support. iOS XE, that is our third operating system. I think as of today, they have these, at least some first steps, because iOS XE is positioned for enterprise.
Yeah.
And they're not so fast in getting these. And they don't need this right now. They're just starting implementing this.
Okay. So I think we've got a real good sense of all this and how this is going. Arun, I want to move the conversation over to you because your title is principal engineer, and I got all giggly when I saw that we were going to have someone on the inside talking to us today. Because we don't always get a chance to talk to engineering folks that create the products that we end up using. So maybe a good way to start would be, can you describe your role and maybe what it is about telemetry, streaming telemetry that you like?
Thank you for that reference to my engineering title. I'm certainly flattered, although I consider myself as really just an engineer. In the current role, I work on all things manageability on specifically the iOS XR operating system that we have, although my role extends into at least giving feedback to the other OSs within Cisco. And that includes telemetry specifically as well. So I'm the lead for the telemetry design and implementation on the iOS XR.
So that means it's your fault?
Hello.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to take. It cuts both ways, and I'll have to be ready for it. Yes. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of surprising that we have really not gotten into mixing telemetry with routing for so long. I mean, telemetry as a reference has been around for a long time. I just did a quick Google search on telemetry, and it dates back to, at least in Wikipedia, there's a reference all the way back to 1854, I believe. So it's kind of, it's interesting. We've never really paid attention to so much state that's coming off a router, but not really looked at it from a telemetry perspective until now. Yeah, so that's kind of what made me transition from working purely on routing protocols and all things routing towards manageability and telemetry in particular.
Okay, so we've been talking about telemetry as if it's one thing, and it's always been in this context of streaming and streaming model-driven telemetry. But as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong here, telemetry is actually more than one thing. So, for example, there is event-driven telemetry. Can you explain event-driven telemetry versus streaming and any other flavors that you want to mention?
I would consider event-driven telemetry as a subset or a featurette of the overall model-driven telemetry paradigm. So it's the same. If you look at what's available today, so if I refer to SNMP and syslogs as legacy solutions, then you get SNMP traps, right? So you have an SNMP MIB, you have trap MIBs. They're all defined independently. You can get an interface trap, for example, and it doesn't contain all the information you would potentially need to process the trap. You get a interface down trap, and that's it. You really don't have any other information beyond what interface transition to a down state and at what time. If I need to know additional associated information around it, I have to actually go back to polling the interface MIB. And it may very well be that the state of that interface has moved on from the point the trap was generated. So it's quite likely that I get stale or I've lost information around the trap itself. So that's one of the things we have strived to make sure does not happen again. So event-driven telemetry is, as a result, primarily a featurette, if you want to look at it that way, in the overall model-driven telemetry paradigm. So you take the same models, you take the same containers within a Yang model, and instead of streaming that Yang model or the container for the Yang model at a certain cadence, you event out the same contents, but based on specific leaves in the Yang model. So if you look at the interface Yang model, whether it be proprietary or open config, you can take the interface state container within that model, and there are a bunch of leaves in them. So you have MTU, admin state, upper state, IP addresses, V4 and V6 addresses, and whatnot. So any of those leaves change, we would event out the container in its entirety. So if you want to compare that, it's like saying that I'm getting a trap, but I'm actually sending out the contents of the IF table in the IF.
Yeah, right. Almost like a trap in that, a trap is sent on something, some event that happens and a trap gets sent. But rather than this trap that is rather contextless, you don't necessarily have everything you need, you can say, oh, this thing happened. Okay, here in the Yang model, we've got all of this information contained in this leaf or this container. Send everything, send all of it so that we've got some clue, some additional set of data around that event and can infer, therefore, what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also another benefit to doing this if you look at it from the collection perspective. You're not writing different collection logic for consuming the cadence version of the data versus eventing version of the data, right? And by extension from what Victor was describing earlier as well, in a lot of cases, the final resting place for this data ends up being in a time series database, and you're not going to create separate, you don't have to create separate schemas for hosting the equivalent of a trap versus a cadence view of the same data. So effectively, you're reducing the amount of code to write, you're reducing the number of schemas you have to manage off box. Yeah, a lot of benefits by combining the two.
Okay, so you've been using a couple of words here, cadence-based and then event-driven. So cadence-based is the fairly constant stream of data that's coming off the box, I'm assuming. And then event-driven is, as we've said, something's happened, so now we're going to send along, and here's what I want to understand. Am I sending along additional data that I haven't, wouldn't have otherwise been capturing during cadence telemetry, or help us understand the distinction between cadence and event?
Sure, yeah. So if you step back, then if you just exclude the discussion of event-driven telemetry and just look at streaming telemetry, right? So streaming, using the term streaming telemetry interchangeably with cadence-based telemetry. So back to what happens with SNMP, you're basically doing cadence-based telemetry equivalents with SNMP polling, right? So you come back and every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes, you will poll the IF table and the IF MIB in its entirety. So that is cadence-driven telemetry. Now, you can take the same equivalent of IF table in a Yang model, and you can event out exactly the same data, but instead of doing it every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, in the case of telemetry, every few seconds, we'll send the data out. The router will send the data out when there is a change. So everything else remains exactly the same, except for the fact that now you're getting interface state and related information that was defined in the Yang model when an event occurred around that data or around that state.
Yeah, that's what I estimated that you were saying. Just wanted to make sure it was very clear to everyone how that happens. So, okay, so let's talk about some events so that we would understand where an event might get triggered and how that's useful. So, you know, one thing you've already stated was obvious, interface up-down event. You mentioned a configuration change that the router becomes aware of, and then some kind of event-driven telemetry gets sent out. Are there other use cases you could cite?
Yeah, actually, the possibilities are quite extensive there. So simple, I would consider those cases as the simpler, right, obvious cases. Any state change to an interface, extend that to protocols, routing protocols. So yeah, you take an IGP like ISIS or OSPF, then you're looking at the corresponding interface state in the protocols or adjacency state changes in those protocols. More interesting ones would be when the link state itself changes, right? Nothing happened to a router, but it receives a link state update because something else, some other part of the network changed. So now we can start tracking interesting things like convergence across the network, because you suddenly know when an LSA or a link state update got received from a different part of the network compared to where the event actually happened, right? So you can start doing correlation like that, which was not that easily possible earlier. Right, then you can extend it to routes. Routes obviously bring a scale implication as well, but you can suddenly start seeing route changes reflected off box, and you can do all kinds of interesting things with that data. Right, so things like peering engineering. Right, you want to know when potentially on the BGP side an attack happens from an external peer. Things, use cases like that suddenly become possible
because you've got data in near real time that you can react to. Any sort of code that you want to write to give you information, or actually it could be programmatic reactionary changes if you wanted to, I suppose, become possible at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very important or a key point to touch on, right? So there's a lot of discussion around network automation that happens these days, but exactly to your point, I think you can suddenly start doing closed loop or reactive changes to the network in near real time, because you're getting two things with this. You're getting lossless state information coming off the box, right? If you look at it, you're not losing any interface state. You're not losing any protocol state or route state. You're getting everything as the actual software on the box sees it. So you can really rely on this data now and start to turn around and do some changes to the network in near real time.
Okay. Now, you are in the developer world. You're leading the telemetry effort. So from an engineering perspective, you know, the world that you live in, what are the things that you're doing? well, not you personally necessarily, but just, you know, let's say Cisco is doing to make telemetry not suck. And here's the context. I don't want goofy things happening like, oh, runaway control plane CPU, et cetera, you know, and the box is maxed out all of a sudden, something to do with the, you know, telemetry process. I want to switch to telemetry and know that it's going to be, you know, really amazing. So how can you give me that level of confidence I'm looking for?
Actually, that's a question we get all the time as well. So as a technology itself, right, the fact that SNMP versus telemetry or even CLI show commands versus telemetry is, if you want to get state, if you're getting state, if you look at interface statistics or any statistics that's coming out of the box, it could be interface statistics or CPU usage or memory usage, any of these bits, which is where scale tends to be, which is where you'll see an impact on the CPU as well with traditional mechanisms like CLI and SNMP, right? That occurs because of polling. The box itself doesn't know that you want to get all the state. It just gives you the bit that you requested, especially with SNMP. So you're polling one interface, one OID at a time. So that's very expensive, right? Because the way the data is organized within the box is quite radically different from how SNMP polling works, right? So with telemetry, you're now going to a push model. Basically, I mean, so you look at the solution itself, you already know internally how the data is organized, and you can switch to a push model all the way from the data source. Suddenly you start seeing efficiencies because you're not doing the same walk of the data multiple times only to send a small subset of it that would occur with CLI or SNMP. You're sending all the data that's relevant to an event or the cadence timer firing that is all the way at the native, all the way at the source, right? So I'm not sure if I explained it well enough, but...
What I'm taking away from this is that the process of streaming data off the box is far more efficient than polling, where there's that MIBTree walk process to get to the OIDs that you need, and then pulling all of the different OIDs, getting the data out, formatting it for SNMP, sending it back is way more intensive than streaming the data off the box, as you're putting it, natively, you know, directly, because you can get right at what you need rather than having, you're almost making it sound like SNMP is a middleman. And it's much more efficient to deal with it in a streaming telemetry way.
Yeah, so it's close to the way you characterized it. So at the end of it, you have a lot of state in a routing protocol, and you're working on some bit of state, right? All of a subset of it at a given point in time. And then you get an SNMP request. You have to potentially stop. The worst case that can happen in the implementation is that you have to stop doing your processing just to process the SNMP request.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that's how things are implemented today, especially with...
But conceptually, you have to divert some... when the SNMP query is received, you have to stop and process the query and react to it, where it would make perhaps more sense to have a piece of code in there that knows exactly what information needs to be calculated and can take that into the scheduling algorithms that are in play.
Exactly. That's exactly what you get with a native push, right? That's what I meant by a native push with telemetry. So basically... The particular component in our routing protocols or any other component knows when it's got time to process things like telemetry at that point. You're not necessarily the amount of CPU required to process that memory is not reduced, but when you do, it makes a significant impact on the overall CPU usage.
Yeah, that's right. And that's important because even though some things are being processed in hardware, changes to the TCAM and changes to the forwarding table are often CPU-related at some level or another. So,
that's correct, yes. And you really want to make sure those get priority over processing an SNMP request or a CLI show command. Right? So that's exactly right.
All right, Arun, it's kind of early days for telemetry, as we've said on the show. So I'm speculating that maybe you guys have a lot of stuff on the engineering whiteboard. So is there anything cool that you're allowed to discuss that might be on the roadmap, things that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is quite early days. We're still learning as we deploy this in networks. But there is a lot of state that we still don't push out through telemetry, right? So we are effectively pushing out what would be CLI show commands today and certain amount of syslogs and equivalent data. But there's a lot more that we can do, a lot more internal state that even CLI show commands are not privy to today, right? And those really open up a lot of possibilities as we start implementing more sophisticated correlation bits within the router itself, right? So that, you know, I can decide to send out low-level stats, right, NP or ASIC-level statistics, which is not possible today pretty much at all, right? I can run a command in a very sparse way, either do a CLI show command or some internal command to extract some of the data, but it's not really useful. One of the popular things that you'll hear is microburst detection, right? It's really not possible to do microburst detection using existing mechanisms. So use cases like that open up with telemetry, and we start looking at enhancing the, for lack of a better term, the internal telemetry pipeline itself to support these kind of use cases. So it doesn't necessarily mean more data. It does mean more intelligent push of data coming off the box.
Well, microburst detection is really interesting. I mean, that I just for example, I know at the chip level, there are certain chips now that can be pushing data at a microburst kind of level where there's microsecond resolution of their information coming off the chip. And then you need to be able to get that off the box and have some software that could detect that. So, right, because of the resolution we're talking about, it's sort of a difficult problem to solve.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, and with the fact that we didn't have a nice, efficient way to push this data out of box before telemetry, people really didn't pay attention to it as much, right? The problem existed. Like you point out, ASICs and NPUs had some level of capabilities to do this, but we never really connected the dots. Now with telemetry, all these bits are getting revisited. And so we can actually detect, we can actually take what is detected on the chip and be able to push the data out in a very efficient way and in a lossless way, right? Both are important. The fact that I don't miss a microburst event or I don't miss any other NPU-related event is also critically important. So the data fidelity becomes, you get a new level of capabilities because of the data fidelity as well improving.
Mm, that's right. Because SNMP was always a bit, the process, if you go back to the mid-90s when SNMP was built, it was kind of a love-hate thing. The way that operating systems were built was they didn't really do a good job of SNMP in terms of the code. And that's some of that still left over to this day, as I understand. Is that fair? And whereas telemetry is kind of built in properly from the start.
Absolutely. I mean, I can, I probably should be saying this, but having written routing code, I never paid attention to SNMP, right? So the development side as well.
Yeah.
Now the tables are flipped on me. But
yeah, I always sort of got the intention that, you know, like, here's the junior. Would you go and write some SNMP code and we'll see how good that is, and then we'll put you on the routing code, which is where the real serious work's done. So that's what I always sort of imagined happen, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, the tables have flipped. A lot more engineers are now interested in working in telemetry as well, and I see that firsthand. So that's good for us.
I think that's really important because I think the transition, this software-centric world that we now live in, the software-defined, software-centric, you know, intent-based, whatever you want to call it, is actually becoming ascendant. The idea that routing is more important than monitoring would have been heresy 10 years ago, but today that's actually true. Routing is actually less important in principle and in concept than knowing that the routing is actually happening. If, in other words, we're getting to a situation where if I can't see what's happening on the box, then the box isn't working, or I don't know if it's there, or I don't know if it's operation, you know, it's working correctly. Therefore, that's a problem. So in a funny sort of way, we're actually getting to the point where telemetry and visibility of the network as a whole and the devices individually is actually as important as actually getting packets from end to end.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, couldn't have been said better there, right? So the fact that you're able to now verify what the protocols, what routing is doing on the box, doesn't necessarily diminish routing capabilities, but it certainly opens up more so. I mean, I would think it may even open up more sophisticated routing algorithms to be implemented, because you simply can verify that state in a more effective way now.
Ren, I want to follow up with one more question. We've mentioned a few times that telemetry is lossless, and I know there's going to be people out there going, "Yeah, but why? Just because it's TCP as opposed to UDP? Is that how we know it's lossless? Because you can still have loss in a stateful stream like that. So how do you mean lossless when you say that?"
That's actually a very, very good question, right? So specifically event-driven telemetry, the way we implement it, so it's both the concept, design, and implementation, right? So all three come together to make the lossless property work. So event-driven telemetry effectively, when we implement it, we make sure that that event is actually coming out of the from the source of truth, right? Or from the piece of code that's actually handling the event itself. It's not a piece of code that's monitoring some state within the box and then saying, oh, okay, here's something changed. Let me event that out. That's not the implementation. The implementation says that within within a routing protocol, for example, you have an IGP, an OSPF or ISIS, an LSA was received, a link state update was received. At the receive, the code that's actually processing the receive of the LSA will push the event out as well. So you combine that with TCP where eventually it's guaranteed that the collector, right, the off-box software that's receiving all these updates is guaranteed to get the update. It may be a little delayed if the TCP session is lossy, but it's still guaranteed to get that update regardless. Now you combine these two, that's where the lossless property kicks in, right? And then from that point on, it's up to the collector to decide whether to keep that lossless property all the way, right? So for example, you write to an influx database, you can implement collectors that ensure that the state gets returned to the database. So you can retain that property all the way through.
Multiple things going on there then. Okay, so there's the process that generates a bit of telemetry data. So if it's a routing process, it is the process that also is generating the, you know, the telemetry action, if I understood right what you were saying. Then there's the transport of TCP, and then there's the collector itself writing to the database that can ensure that it actually gets written. And so all of those things combined is where what we mean when we say lossless here.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct. So and so effectively, when an application comes and tries to make some sense out of the data out of a database, it's guaranteed that that any events that were occurring on a device and hence across the network, it'll find all those events in the database with 100% guarantee.
Okay. Well, Arun, I want to thank you for nerding out with us on what's happening internally on a box regarding streaming telemetry. That was very cool. And really, we've talked this topic to death. This has been great stuff. Victor, back to you. If people want to find out more, they want to dig deeper, they want to read more about telemetry, streaming telemetry, event-driven telemetry, model-driven telemetry, any URLs you could recommend to them?
Yeah, we have a good location of all the things around automation and programmability in iOS XR. And the link is xrdocs.github.io. And there you can just click on telemetry and read a lot of interesting things there. And we'll keep on enhancing and improving the material there. So we have a pipeline to add more and more documents there, but it already contains a lot of useful information about telemetry in XR.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of another nerdy show here at Packet Pushers. Our special thanks to Cisco for sponsoring today, as without our sponsors, we can't do what we do. You can find this and many more of our fine, free technical podcasts, along with our community blog over at packetpushers.net. You can follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers and more on LinkedIn and the Facebooks. And take a minute and rate us on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. Last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.